Hey, everybody. This is the first week that we're doing this, and we may be doing this for a few weeks. So my experience, I'm sure we'll get better. There are some things that I'd like to do this morning. First of all, I'd like to tell you that today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on today. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life or in your life. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad in it, and we will rejoice. And so that is our responsibility, to rejoice in the day that God has made. Right now we have I'm going through a series called Spiritual Warfare, and started last week or the week before last, and but last week I want to kind of recap of where we were at. The first thing that we did was peace. Isn't that kind of a weird thing to have as a weapon of warfare? Peace. But it is. It's a very strong weapon of our warfare. And I'm going to read you a few scriptures. Isaiah 26:3, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you." So, he will guard you and keep him in perfect and constant peace. God gives us a promise that he will guard us and keep us in perfect and constant peace. There's nothing that upsets the devil more than doing the exact opposite of what he's trying to do. And what he's trying to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he's trying to do is to bring chaos to your life. So if God is guarding you and keeping you in perfect and constant peace because our mind is on him, and he commits, and we commit ourselves to him, and we lean on him, and our hope is in him, yeah, kind of upsets the devil. So 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all our care upon him, because he cares for us." So knowing that should ease all of our anxiety, because he cares for us. Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not fret." Are we in a time of fretfulness? Oh man, there's people who are so scared, so afraid, so fearful. But the word tells us that do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. So what's the Greek word for anything? Anything. We shouldn't be afraid of anything. But in every circumstance and everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So he's telling us, take everything to God. Make your definite request with thanksgiving. So when we have an attitude of gratefulness before God, let me tell you, he knows everything that we need and want in our hearts. It's not bad to want things from God. In fact, he's our Father. You as parents, don't you want to know what your children want? You may not give it to them, just like our God is not going to give us everything that we want. But he says, tell me what you want. Tell me, pray, petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, and there be any praise, think on these things. So what should our mind be on? The things that are causing fear, the things that are causing us havoc. Should we be wringing our hands? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What if this and what if that? I call that the land of what if. Man, we spend so much time, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if I don't get a paycheck? He says, don't think on those things. Think on the things that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Know that God is trying to do some major things in your life. And know that God is good all the time. Romans 6:20. I love this scripture. Tom told me this scripture at the end of last Sunday. He says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you. Now, understand, in Romans 16:20, it says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Who will crush Satan? God will. Where will he crush Satan? Under your feet. Understand the logistics of that. God's going to be doing the crushing, and he's going to do it under our feet. So understand what's happening here. God is going to be the one who does it, and it's going to be under our feet. We just need to be listening to God and having God do what he does. And that is, he has already defeated Satan at the cross. He already defeated Satan when he was resurrected. He already defeated Satan. And so he is just bringing our warfare up to be the soldiers that he needs us to be in this earth right now. He's making us stronger. Well, that was a recap of last week. So we're going to go on to what the strategy in warfare for this week. And that is the strategy of wisdom. God has given us another weapon for us. And that is wisdom. And I have a few scriptures here, and I want to share them with you. If you have pen and paper, I suggest that you write these down so that when you have these scriptures, you can refer back to them, and you can have them, and God will bring them back to your memory. But, man, when you study the Word, go back over these scriptures. And God will give you insight, and God will give you what you need in times of trouble. He will say, you remember that scripture? You need this at this time. So let's start with James 3:15 through 18. He says, the wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, from where envy and strife is there, is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace and them that make peace. So understand that that kind of peace that that kind of wisdom that that comes from above is first pure. It is that from God. And it is peaceable, it is gentle, and easy to be entreated. Man, when that kind of when you hear from someone, from a man of God, a woman of God, when you hear the Word of God come, and it's easily entreated. It's something that I can take in and I can digest and I can say, man, you know those words are able to fit in my life and it's applicable to what I need to do in my life. It's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. I can digest that. I can live with that. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Do you want to be that kind of person? Yes, I do. I want to be that kind of person. Now let's go on to James 1, 2 through 8. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Are we in a time that is working our patience? Ah, go to the grocery store. Over here in Crane, we have cops outside the door only letting so many people go into the store at one time. That is probably working somebody's patience. I'm sure there are people that are tapping their foot. There are people going, why is this? This is so ridiculous. But understand that the trying of your faith works patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Isn't that incredible? That when that patience is working its work, it is making us wanting nothing. You know, people have said you should never ask for patience because it's hard. Well, I'm someone that says I want to be someone to get to the point where I'm wanting nothing. I'm to the place where I'm going, I'm complete and I don't need anything else. I'm wanting nothing. And it says here that the way I get there is that patience has done its work in my life. And so I may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, man, when things like this happen, like this virus is doing a work in our land, make it to the best that it can be. Do its work. Don't let this time go by complaining and grumbling and go, well, just and be negative. Well, just wait till the next thing, till the next shoe drops, and man, but if I sit not complaining, not grumbling, like the word says I shouldn't do anyway, but I am patient and let God do what he wants to do in my life, I'm going to have a work in me I'm going to be left not wanting anything. If any of you lack wisdom, I love this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unabradeth not, and shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven from the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you need wisdom in this time, I believe everybody, every Christian, every son, every daughter of God should be asking for wisdom. You say, well, everyone should need wisdom. I don't think anybody has enough. And so go to the Lord and say, give me more wisdom. And so God says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to find any fault in giving it to you. I'm not going to say, oh, well, you didn't have enough of this or you didn't have enough of that. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you liberally. The advantage is when he has his sons and daughters with that wisdom, they're going to make right decisions in their life to be the best sons and daughters of God. That is going to be, it does God good. He loves it when his children are successful. And wisdom does that in our lives. And the thing that he says in this thing, he says, if you have to believe that he gives it to you. If you don't believe that he gives it to you, then you're a double-minded man. And he's not going to give it to you if you don't have the faith for it. Because so if you ask, he says he's give it to you, you got to believe that he gave it to you. So live that way. So do it right now. Do it right there where you're sitting. Father, in the name of Jesus, give me that wisdom that is from above. Give me that thing that I need to go the course, to run the race, to live as you want me to live. I'm sure you got a problem. I don't know what it is, but you do. And you're going, God, I have a problem. I don't know how to fix it, but you do. So give me the wisdom and give me the steps to correct that problem. I got a text the other day about why are we being isolated? Why are we being separate? And this person was a little disconcerted. And the reason was someone had told her that this was a judgment of God and that God was mad. I want to sit here and tell you, God is not mad. If God is anything, God is jealous for his people. And I would say that God is herding sheep. God is herding his sheep to be close to him. God is jealous for his people. And there's a word, consecration. And consecration means there is, when he, in the Old Testament, when there was a holy sacrifice, it was to seclude that sacrificial lamb or sacrificial ram. It was a perfect sacrificial lamb or ram, and it was specifically to devote to religious service or religious uses. And so that's all God is doing for us now. He's saying, consecrate yourself totally for me. And this is just an opportune time. You're at home. You're not able to go to work. You're not able to go to the store. You're not able to go to sporting events. You're not able to have to take your child to practices and soccer practice, football practice, basketball practice, whatever sport there is. You are at home. Get in your closet. Get into that spare room. Do whatever you need to do. Take the Word of God with you and pray. Man, this might be awkward for you because you had never done it before. You haven't done it for very long. Stretch yourself. If you've never done it, do it for 5 minutes. If you have done it for 15 minutes, do it for 20 minutes. Just stretch yourself in getting alone with God and let God speak to you. We're in this society where we have to be entertained. Let me tell you what. Be quiet. Be still and know that God is with you. In James it says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And so, in 1 Corinthians 6:14 through 18, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord with Christ with Belial? And what part hath that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Man, God is separating us so that he can be our father. You'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that wonderful? I have three kids. One lives in San Angelo, one lives in Midland, one lives in Alpine. And I love it when they all come home at the same time and we sit around our table and we have a meal together. I think they're funny. I think they have great stories. I love to catch up with them. It's what a father wants to be with their children. And our fathers, I feel like I have the heart of a father. And so our father wants the same thing. He wants his children to come and sit at the banqueting table with him. And he has a feast ready to feed us. And it's the feast of his word. It's the feast of his knowledge. It's a feast of his wisdom. And this spiritual warfare, he has knowledge to impart to us, wisdom to impart to us. And so let's be hungry for his righteousness. Let's be hungry for him. In Luke 2:52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Do we want to be like Jesus? Well, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We need to do the same. Increase in wisdom and stature. How are we going to be like Jesus? Spending time with Jesus. Jesus is alive. Jesus is active. Jesus is the one we need to spend time with. I love the scripture that says, and they knew that they had been with Jesus. That's in Acts, I believe, it's in chapter 1 or 2. And he says, they knew they had been with Jesus. How did they know that? Because they probably talked like him. They probably said the things that Jesus had said. Hey, you know of kids, you know, probably even yourself, you say the same phrases that your mom or your dad said. Because what? You grew up in the same household that your mom and dad raised you in. So be like Jesus. Be like the Father. Show his traits by spending time with him. In Luke 21:10-19, this is a long scripture, and I'll try to cut it down a little bit. And then he told them, a nation will rise against nation and the kingdom against kingdom. There will be mighty and violent earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilences, plagues, contagious and infectious epidemic diseases, which are deadly and devastating. And there will be sights of terror and great signs from heaven. But previous to all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, turning you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be led away before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be a time and opportunity for you to bear testimony. Resolve and settle it in your minds not to meditate and prepare beforehand how you are to make your defense, how you will answer. Listen to this. I will give you a mouth and such utterances and wisdom that all of your foes combined will not be able to stand against or refute. He says, there will come a time that there will be persecution. This isn't one of those, but understand, don't take thought of what you're going to say. God's going to give us wisdom. That wisdom is for the time of spiritual warfare. He's going to give it to you now. When you ask for it, he's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you the things to say. He's going to give you, he says, I will give you a mouth and such utterances and wisdom that all your foes combined will not be able to stand against or refute. We need to be ready to give an account of our life in Christ. In Acts 6:18, Stephen was going to be persecuted. He was going to, but before that, he frustrated the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenes and the Alexandrians, and of them Silas of Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. He had the wisdom of God. In Ephesians 3:9-11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are the church. Just because we're not meeting in a building doesn't mean that the church is not meeting. This new technology that we have, we're meeting together online for a single purpose, for a single time to worship one God, one Spirit, one Lord. Now, understand this. God has given us a mandate and a responsibility. In Ephesians, I want you to read this, 3:9-11, it says, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church, which is us, the manifold wisdom of God. This is what he's saying. God has given unto the church the manifold wisdom so that we could make known that wisdom unto the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. We're the ones to speak the manifold wisdom of God. We're those ones. So what is our responsibility? First, it is to know that wisdom. It is to get that wisdom of God. It is to know His Word. It is to know what God is saying in this Word. And so we as the people of God is to be as He has designed us to be. We need to shed our bodies and our soul and be spirit life to the world. And the last scripture that I'm going to use is Colossians 4:5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We got to redeem the time. We have been given the mandate. We have been given everything that we need for life and godliness. Do you hear that? We have been given everything we need for life and godliness. And that is that wisdom that God wants us to be able to spread the good news. What is the wisdom of God? He came to earth to bring salvation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. People are looking for answers outside of the church and outside of God, and it's not possible. It really isn't. Marriages are falling apart. People are falling apart. It can only be found through Jesus Christ. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let us be those people who can do that. Wisdom. A strong weapon in this spiritual warfare. Be with us next week. I'm going to be talking about resisting and holiness. Two of the very things that we're going to need in spiritual warfare. I appreciate y'all listening this week.
Close like I normally do.
Okay.
Make this as normal as possible. I saw a lot of your comments as Arthur was preaching, and appreciate your engagement. We prayerfully consider everything we're doing here, and we're so thankful for the ability to get the word out. And I appreciate Arthur's heart this morning, bringing the necessary and timely things that he brought. So you guys stay in touch, and let us know if there's any issues with, you know, what you've seen here, if you have suggestions on making this better. Taking this one step at a time, but always wanting to give God glory. So have a great week, and be blessed, and we'll see you next Sunday. Same time next Sunday, 11 o'clock, and we'll be back online then. Thanks for joining us.